podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
If you are joining us for the first time this Sunday, as a church, we've been on a journey in the book of Genesis. The journey began in January of 2017. Thus, we've been on the book of Genesis for a little over 18 months now. We've reached the place of Abraham, and we have gotten to the place where the story of Abraham has been unfolded right after the migration into the plains of Shinar, better known as the Tower of Babel. Juxtaposed into the story of the Old Testament, we find this idea of migration. The juxtaposition is not just a human migration, but while that's the story is being told that way, is a spiritual migration that we find in the life of Abraham. It's a good point to study this in this moment because by next week we're going to be starting in Genesis 15. It's a good moment to review this big chunk of four chapters to understand what's happening. The first migration into Shinar was the people migrating after the big flood, the migration of into the ends of the earth as God disbanded the party in Shinar, Terah's own migration into Canaan, desiring to get into the first world at the time, Abraham's own migration into Canaan for very different reasons because God had called him and asked him to go. We find that as he gets there, he lands in a famine. Inside that famine, he now gets sidetracked into yet another migration, this time into Egypt. While there, he gets into trouble with Pharaoh, and you know the rest of that story. And that gets him back then to Bethel. In Bethel, there's a war that happens. And then this war causes him to have another migration between Lot and him. And finally, he migrates into Hebron. And then we find out last week that there was this big commotion, these 10 kings that were in war, or 9 kings rather. This is chapter 14. In order to understand further the last 4 verses of this chapter, I want to reference back what we've been trying to tell you since we started on the journey in the book of Genesis, this idea of a chiastic. A chiastic is an ancient form of writing. In those days, there were no parentheses, there were no commas, there were no periods. These were just text. In order for people to understand this, they needed to use a chiastic, a method of saying things in repetition so that you could get the point. And in Genesis chapter 14, you find the word kings mentioned over 20 times. It's signaling you that this discussion is about kings. It also signals you in this chiastic, for the very first time in Scripture, the word war is mentioned. In other words, kings are responsible for wars. In fact, that's true. Many times, ordinary citizens like you and me do not really care about these things, but wars happen because of kings. As the story unfolds, we now reach the junction where now all of the other kings are dead. And basically, there are 2 kings that are contrasted in the story. One is a guy named Melchizedek, and the other one is a guy named the King of Sodom. Everybody else is gone and dead or disappeared or maybe ran away. But the Bible now focuses on these 2 kings. The King of Salem, his name is Melchizedek. And the king of Sodom, and these now are contrasted for our very eyes as we read through Genesis 14. One was a righteous king. The Bible says Melchizedek means king of righteousness. The other one was an unrighteous king, as we will see the story unfold. One was a king of peace. That's what the king of Salem is, king of peace. And the other one was a king of war. He was actually this king who started the entire war. This last 4 verses direct us into a very important part of our faith, choices. We've got to make choices in life, and really, at the end of the day, the choices we make today determine what our future will look like. Now, my very first trip to Singapore was in 1981. I was a bachelor, I was a young businessman, and as often, when you're hosted by people in Singapore, they will offer you the national drink called teh. Now that I live in Singapore, I realize that there's not just one kind of teh, there's teh o. And then there's teh o kosong. And the more I interface with people in the hawkers, there's teh si. And then there's teh si kosong. And then there's teh peng. And then there's te o peng, and then te si peng, and then te si kosong peng. In other words, it's confusing, isn't it? Choices. We make choices every day. Some trivial as to whether we're going to have hot tea or cold tea or sweet tea or evaporated milk tea. I don't know what kind of tea. But there are some choices that are more serious than others. One of those is who you're going to serve. Which king? You? The king of your own heart? God, the king of the universe, or the king of the world, Sodom? Which one is really the story that's unfolding before us in these last four chapters? That's the richness of Scripture, is such that in a mere four chapters, it points you to certain truths about your life. Genesis 14, verse 21, the king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." That's the king of the world. Basically, what he's saying is, use the people, okay, and love the things. That's the world. That's a decision you and I face every day. Use people and love the things. Melchizedek said, that's not righteous, that's unrighteous. The righteous ways, love people and use things. Very easy to get confused by these two very simple thoughts. And some choices are more serious than others. In other words, if you choose the wrong wife, how many of you know that's a serious problem? And some choices like these can be very seemingly inconsequential. But I want to give you a principle, a second principle. Some choices are more serious than others. The second principle is, we are free to choose, but we're not free to choose the consequences of our choices. You can choose whatever you want to choose. You can choose the world. Just be sure to know and remember and don't forget, you will not be free to choose the consequences of your choice. Last week we talked about the tithe, and I heard from different places that some of you reacted to the tithe. And by the way, no one's asking you to tithe. Whether you tithe or not, you're welcome to come here and listen to the Word of God. Amen? But your choice does not affect us, it affects you. That's the bottom line. Because the bottom line is, you're free to choose, but you're not free to choose the consequences of who you're going to serve. Verse 22, but Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted my hand to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth." Basically, he's making this declaration. He's quoting the words of Melchizedek. And what he's saying here is simply this principle. When the big decisions have been made, the rest is easy. When you haven't made the big decision as to who you're going to serve, everything becomes a tough decision. Everything becomes a battle. When you made a decision to serve God and follow God, then everything becomes easy because everything he says, I just obey. It's kind of like coming to church, isn't it? The big decision is come to church every Sunday. If you don't make that big decision, it's hard to wake up and decide where you're going to wake up on Sunday. Amen? Hard to decide. It's easy to decide. Am I taking the MRT, the Grab, driving? Am I walking to church? That's easy. What's hard is, did you make already a decision to serve the Master and be a church? Decisions become easy when you've made the hard one, the big one. Every time we make the big decisions, the rest of our decisions become simple. If you've decided to have peace and love, the rest is easy. If you haven't decided that, you're going to be caught in a place, in a quandary, as to how you're going to decide when the thing confronts you. Verse 24 says, "I accept nothing but what the men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me." This is Abraham basically telling Sodom, thanks for the offer, but not really that interested. I accept what we've already eaten, rightfully so, because my 318 men slaughtered your enemies and won the battle for you. So I accept that, but not for me, it's for the men. And then he says, to went with me to Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, let them have their share. This is a very, very interesting verse. It's a very interesting principle about choices. There are serious choices and there are not so very serious choices. It matters what our choices are. very important. But there's another principle that he's bringing up here. It's not just the big decisions that I made a choice in. He says, the choices we make are personal. Sometimes what we want to do is we want to impose our choices on others. I don't want to impose my choices on you. Your choices are your choices. Whether you choose to obey or disobey God has no bearing on me. It won't change my life. It'll change yours. And that's what Abraham was saying. I'm making a choice not to get anything from you guys, but these guys, they're going to decide what they're going to do. Not me. Our choices have an impact. Our choices are important. The question for you and for me is, how do I make the right choices? This is important. How do I do this when I'm confronted on a daily basis to make different choices? When I was a kid, it was easy to make a choice between soft drinks. There was Coke and Pepsi. It was a long time ago. And now there's, to just decide which Coke, you have Coke this and Coke cherry, and you have, I mean, there's all kinds of Coke now. It's so hard to make decisions, especially when you have to make decisions on the fly. And there are certain things that are necessary and important for you and me to be able to make the right choices, regardless of whether we're making long-term choices or instantaneous choices that confront us on a daily basis. And you're probably sick and tired of what I'm about to say, but I have to say it again. The secret is pray. Prayer is the most important thing you need to do on a regular daily basis, if not multiple times in a day, so that you can learn how to make the right decisions. Prayer should be the default of your heart, something that just happens automatically because that's the nature. Sometimes a prayer meeting backfires because we go to, I was talking to a lady this week, and she said, I have to go to a prayer meeting. She's so busy about prayer. But you know, sometimes you don't need to go to a prayer meeting to pray. You can pray anytime. I'm reminded of a story of these ladies who were gathered together in a prayer meeting. And the first lady said, Lord, I pray that you give me a clean heart. The second lady said, Lord, I pray that you give me a faithful heart. The third lady said, Lord, give me a good heart. And Lord, give me a discerning heart. And the last lady, they've run out of words to say, she said, Lord, just give me a sweet heart. And all the eyes of the women opened and said, ah, man. Sometimes we're so protracted and we're so into prayer, we forget prayer is simply going to God. It's just having this default of, I just love you, God. I was standing in the MRT just this week. This week has been seriously busy for me. I was on my way to Orchard to have lunch with you. And while I was waiting, I saw the number 23. And it reminded me of Psalm 23, and I started to pray. I started to pray in the Spirit. Kabosha Rabakita. You know, the good thing about living in Singapore is you can pray in tongues and they don't think you're weird because they don't know what nationality you are. Just get a phone. Kabre babakoti babakaya. Ake somo kotacha. Labaka bobo katiba katiba katiba. How often do you pray? The Bible says pray without ceasing. I've now learned after 16, 18 months of living, I've now learned how to text while on the MRT. And I wrote this, I said, MRT devotions. How many of you know you can have devotions in the MRT? And I wrote this, got me thinking of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Kaboka sharabakata. I've got a shepherd. Lord, I'm not alone in this jungle of a world. You're my good shepherd. You learn how to pray, you slow time down, you allow yourself to make choices, smart choices. Because you made a choice to first begin with the real master of your life, the real shepherd of your life. He makes me lie down in green pastures, God. Slow me down. Help me make the right choices at Din Tai Fung at lunch. Simple choices. Get the people who invited you to make the choice for you. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. This is how you do it. And he refreshes and restores you and leads you into the right path. That path leads to peace and joy. That's how you find peace and joy, folks. That's how you make this choice. It's not, people are looking for formulas. People are looking for an app. People are looking for, I type this in and it'll churn out the right. No. The right decision is decide that you're going to first pray to God. The rest of the decisions become easy. One of my meetings this week was at Starbucks in Aperia Mall where typically nobody's there. As I was sitting in the meeting, all of a sudden these people started to cluster together outside and I thought something's up. Is there an earthquake? And I realize I'm not in Manila, so there are no earthquakes. Now, all of a sudden, after a few minutes, I saw this rush of people, all of these, and then it dawned on me there is a fire drill. And I stepped out and walked out there and looked at the people. And again, I started to pray. Shabre ko boka. Jesus, save these people. Lead them to the path. How often do you pray? When you hear an ambulance, do you pray? At least for the driver who's rushing, who's stressed. You're a Christian, right? When the plane is shaking, do you pray for the passengers or are you just praying that God, that you won't feel bad? Prayer, folks, is a heart that knows it cannot make it through the day without God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is simply a heart. It's not the thing you do. It's a heart that acknowledges, I can't make this day go through without you. That's what I did before the service started. That's what I'm going to do on my way home. That's what I do when I'm going to eat. And that's why he said, every time you break the bread and pick up the cup, pray, because he knows how forgetful you are, but you will not forget to eat your tacos home. He seeks after God. A heart that trusts God. A heart that loves God. It's easy to make choices when you've made this first choice. Amen? The second is meditate on the Word. Heart is one thing, that's prayer. Meditate is your head. It's what you're thinking of. Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, pray throughout the whole day. While you're working, there's a problem that comes up, pray. It says meditate on the Word day and night. What that simply means is 24/7. Whatever you're looking at, whatever you're seeing, see it from the lenses of God's Word. Put that Word in your eyes that every time you see something, it's the Word. Many of you know that I'm an amateur gardener of sorts. And whenever I'm stressed, I pray. And the other thing I do is I garden. And one day I was gardening. I put this in my Instagram. And the light hit the plant in a certain way in my dining table. And I began to meditate on it. And my meditation went like this. God is such an artist. And then it says, keep in mind, he first made trees that were first pleasing to the eye before they were functional as food. Can you think about that? When you meditate in the Word, you begin to reason with the Word. God's not against beauty. God is against frivolity. God is the author of beauty. In fact, before he made plants that you were going to eat, he first made them beautiful. When you begin to reason with God, you will make choices that are sound because you're thinking the thoughts of God. This is one of my tweets. The reason we feel convicted when you sin is the same reason. Somebody texted me and said, I'm suffering from fever. Please pray for me. And I start meditating on the Word. And the reason you feel convicted when you sin is the same reason why you have a fever when you get an infection. Your spiritual antibodies are fighting sin in you. And that's a good thing. In other words, if an infection gets inside of you, your physical antibodies are fighting that. That means is you're healthy. There's something in there that's fighting. If you're no longer having fever, something's wrong. Hello? And then it goes on to say, be worried if you're not convicted. When I kept silent, my body wasted away. Psalm 32, verse 3. Meditating is not just you don't have to go into a Bible study to always meditate. You can actually meditate wherever you are. I was walking at the sports hub, and I saw this picture of the city of Singapore, the CBD. And I meditated and said, do not make a mistake of thinking that your job, business, company, or your boss is your provider. Always remember God is your provider. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. The truth of who God is everywhere in nature, in your office. In fact, life's very simple today. You have a phone. If you have a thought, Google it and say, verse on this, and it'll give you a verse. How easy is that? Don't you think God is the author of the internet? And then you begin to meditate, and you renew your mind. Some of you are probably saying, I don't think that I'm capable of that, Pastor. I'm too old. And let me tell you something, okay? You're never too old or too young to meditate on the Word. This is my grandson, Lukey. Okay, his name is Lucas. We call him Lukey. And he's 2 years old, and he is meditating on the Word. In this particular video, you're going to watch him meditate on the Ten Commandments at 2 years old. If he can do it, amen? Are you here? You can too.
Say hi.
Hi.
My name is?
Lukey.
Today, I will recite the Ten
Commandments.
Number one.
God first.
Number two. Number three, number four, work six, number five, number six, number seven, love the one you
marry,
number eight, if it's not yours,
don't take it,
number nine, number ten, be happy with what you
have.
Yay! Clap for Lukey. Say thank you.
Thank you.
For watching.
For watching.
See you again.
I see you again.
Next time.
Next time.
And give a big, big kiss.
More.
And a smile.
Not very. We have managed to make the Christian faith more complicated than it really is. We have managed to make this harder than it really is. It's prayer. It's a heart. Can't make this day without you. Casting my cares to you. I need you. I love you. I'm thinking your words. You just do those two, you're going to be fine. You're going to be absolutely fine. You're going to make choices that are amazing. Because when you do that, Romans 12:2 says, you're no longer conforming to the pattern of this world. Sometimes people think it's the behavior that I don't have to conform. No, no, it doesn't start with behavior. It starts by being transformed. And how do you become transformed? By the renewing of your mind. It's your mind that needs to be renewed, which is why you need to keep meditating on the Word. And every time you do that, the Bible says, then you will be able to test and approve the choices you're going to make. That choice looks like it's the shortcut like Sodom, and this is where Abraham learned his lesson from Egypt. In Egypt, he made a choice between what he saw, which was the famine, versus God who was invisible, and he made a choice to go there. And he used his wife, people, to get things. In his spiritual journey now, his lenses have changed. I'm not choosing things over people now. I'm choosing God's way, because that's his will. And his will is the good will, the pleasing will and the perfect will. And every time you make that choice, you will increasingly realize how good, pleasing, and perfect God's will is. But there is no shortcut to it. There is no formula to it. The formula, if you want one, is pray and meditate every day. And then your thoughts will not be quite as stressful. And your mind will be very relaxed. But despite all the prayer and the meditation, the fact of the matter is we will still make mistakes and we will fail. I've already done two just this morning. The first one was early this morning. I was trying to finish this message. I was working on the keynote. I was working on all of this. And my wife came up because I'm taking a flight tonight, and she just asked something, and I snapped at her like a fish. And she looked at me, and she got, and I knew I did the wrong thing. Amen? And so, good news is, I made the right choice. I married the right person. Amen? So I walked over there, and I said, hey, I'm sorry. And she looked at me and said, I forgive you. It cleans you, isn't it? When you ask for forgiveness, and when you begin to proclaim that there is a Savior, no amount of prayer and meditation will clean you. It takes the proclamation of the gospel. A reminder that the angel said to them, fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For unto you this day in the city of David, the Savior, who is the Christ, has been born. And the declaration of the proclamation is suddenly there was with this the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Peace and righteousness comes when we proclaim the gospel over and over and over again, regardless of our mistakes and our errors. I came to church and a man gave me this bag last night. And I forgot about it. I just left it out there, and I felt, and I actually had forgotten. So when I saw him and his wife coming this morning with the bag, I felt so condemned. Pastor, I gave you a gift and you forgot it. And as I was walking back in here, again I proclaim, Jesus, you're my Savior. In my imperfection, you fix me. Pray, meditate, proclaim, and finally fellowship. You come to places like this and you hang out with believers because that's how you make the right choices. Last Monday, on my day off, I went fishing with Pastor Josh and his son Ben. Just to fellowship. We weren't really talking about much. Caught this fish. Don't you like my fish? But it's catch and release, right? I mean, you catch it and you release it back. It's a beginner's pond. You go there, you will all... Don't think you're skillful. Everybody there, no matter how dumb you are, you'll catch something. It's. In fact, I thought that was big until I saw this. And we thought we were such great fishermen, and then his son catches four of these. But the point was fellowship. And we were just walking together, talking to each other, discussing, sharing some of the choices and decisions you're going to make. If you run it by some of your Christian friends, will help you. Let me summarize. Pray, meditate, proclaim, fellowship. It's not a formula. It's a lifestyle. It's coming to God with a heart of prayer, a mind that is renewed because it keeps thinking the thoughts of God, a soul that proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ has cleansed me through and through, and the ability to fellowship with other believers. Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your grace that is in our hearts. Would you just lay hands in your hearts right now? God, seal the truth of this word to us. May we walk away here with life lessons that will be applied, choices that we're going to make. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.